my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
Hello, loyal fans. Here's a quick peek at our supplement product and book of the month for October. At the end of the podcast, I will spend a few minutes going into further detail, so check it out. The supplement of the month for October is our very own Probiotic Power, with the 10% discount code for the month of October being lowercase O, lowercase C, lowercase T, the number 19, lowercase HELTHYGUT. So it's October 19 Healthy Gut. The product of the month for October is Peak Tea Crystals. Look out for October specials. The book of the month for October is Now is the Way, an unconventional approach to modern mindfulness by Corey Allen. Keep in mind, all the links, discount codes, and special offers for the product, supplement, and book will be listed in the show notes on iTunes, posted on social media, and in our weekly newsletter, and on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab. Thanks for listening. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, and I'm your co-host. Today, our guest is Dr. Will Cole. Many guests have been on twice, but only a few, select few, have been on three times. Dr. Cole is entering into that rarefied air. I encourage you to check out our past two interviews. The first one is kind of just an introductory on who Dr. Cole is. The second one, we talked about his first book, Ketotarian, which is still one of my most highly recommended books, and in this one is about his newest book coming out mid-October called The Inflammation Spectrum. So it's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I didn't know I've hit the Hall of Fame for your show.
You are definitely in the Hall of Fame for our show for sure. So let me just let me do your bio, because it's changed a little bit since the last time. We'll just get right into talking about the new book. All right.
Yeah.
So Dr. Will Cole, a leading functional medicine expert, consults people around the world via webcam at www.drwillcole.com and locally in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He specializes in clinically investigating underlying factors of chronic disease and customizing health programs for thyroid issues, autoimmune conditions, hormonal dysfunction, digestive disorders, and brain problems. Dr. Cole is named one of the top 50 functional medicine and integrative doctors in the nation and is a health expert for Mind, Body, Green and Goop. Dr. Cole is the author of the upcoming book, The Inflammation Spectrum, in which he explores how inflammation exists on a spectrum within the body, the various systems it can affect, and how you can discover your individual food triggers to overcome chronic inflammation. He's also the author of Ketotarian, which I just mentioned, in which he melds the powerful benefits of a ketogenic diet with a plant-based one. So, inflammation has been a hallmark in our office for, since I started. In most of our presentations, we use the slide from the cover of the Time magazine. I think it's in the mid-1980s that, inflammation is the silent killer. Now your book, has a little bit of a different take on it, how different systems in the body kind of react differently. So I'm just interested to get into the topic today. So let's start off with this question. Why does inflammation plague so many people, and why did you choose to create awareness and write this book?
Yeah, and I'm glad more and more people are becoming aware of it, but it still surprises me how many people aren't aware that inflammation is a problem for a lot of people. I think most people can get behind the fact that, it's inflammation or chronic inflammation is behind heart disease and behind maybe diabetes and obviously joint pains like arthritis and muscle pains, that kind of stuff. But the far-reaching implication that inflammation has on our brain as far as mental health and anxiety and depression and fatigue and brain fog, these are sadly so pervasive in our culture. At the very least, studies point to the fact that they have an inflammatory component in many cases, if not being a full-blown inflammatory issue for some people, and the impact that inflammation has on our hormones as far as blunting the receptor sites for hormones, causing different like hormonal imbalances with like thyroid resistance or insulin resistance or other hormonal imbalances. If you look at the HPA axis issue with adrenal fatigue, the impact of the brain, adrenal axis and inflammation playing a role there. And autoimmune conditions and the fact that most of these, if not all of them, are inflammatory in nature too. I think that educating people about inflammation is definitely what I wanted to do with this book. The concept of the inflammation spectrum is something that I touched on in Ketotarian in my first book, but I was allowed, or I was able to do a deep dive because I had a lot more pages and it was a whole topic about this concept of the inflammation spectrum, that it's not a static thing where, you know, this is inflammation and this is the way it always looks, but it exists on a continuum from one end of the inflammation spectrum being, you know, mild fatigue or brain fog or anxiety or mild symptoms. And then on the other end of the inflammation spectrum, it's the full-blown ICD-10, like diagnosed. I have a, you know, someone has chronic health problems like diabetes or autoimmune conditions, et cetera. And then everything in between on that spectrum. So I kind of took all of my functional medicine experience and put it in a way that the average person just reading it could take the inflammation spectrum quiz in the book and find out where they're at on the inflammation spectrum. And then through just functional medicine methodology and tailoring concepts, I'm able to allow the reader to choose their own adventure and kind of take action on their health with by themselves. So I'm excited about it, and it is something I've been working on quite a long time, because it's quite hard to put all the nuance and tailoring of functional medicine in a book form but still make sense to the layperson. So it's definitely been we've been beta testing it for a while as far as the quizzes and the real life application of it all, but we've got it right and the book's ready, and I'm excited for people to read it.
Yeah, I just want to dial back just one step, just so the audience understands how important this is. You know, in your explanation of the book, you mentioned brain fog, brain health, adrenal problems, HPA axis, autoimmune conditions, thyroid. I mean, inflammation and chronic inflammation and acute inflammation as well plays a role in each and every one of those concerns and disease process, like you said, full-blown ICD-10. So it's that important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. And when we're talking about these health problems, that's sadly the majority of the human race. It's going to be hard to find somebody not impacted from chronic inflammation in all its various manifestations. So it is much needed. And I'm happy that more and more people are talking about it, but we still have so much to go. And when you look at the numbers and the statistics out there, we definitely have a lot to do, because the other side of that coin, while it's so pervasive, these chronic inflammatory health issues, the other side of it is it's largely improvable, manageable, reversible, overcomable, healable, as a general rule. There's a lot we can do with just simple lifestyle changes, functional medicine aspects and principles in people's lives.
You know, I'll never forget one of the first conversations I had with my first chiropractor, who's my chiropractor today, and he was talking to me. I don't know how we came up on this conversation, but he was talking to me about acute inflammation. How, like, for example, if you pulled out a tooth, you know, it's a natural response for your body to swell, bring blood there, bring all the white blood cells there. I mean, that's a natural process. Or if you sprain your ankle, yes, it hurts, but that's designed for your body to stop moving, to bring all the healing properties. But we're talking about chronic inflammation. I want to be very clear. Is that correct, Dr. Cole, that we're talking about chronic inflammation in this respect?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. So inflammation is a product of our immune system. So in balance, it's a good thing. Like you said, it heals wounds, it fights viruses and bacteria. It is our, it's a good part of our immune system, but it's out of balance, like just like so much of our body. I mean, our microbiome balance, our immune balance, all of these things are so much needed for optimal wellness. So it's really the breaking of the Goldilocks principle that's the issue. It's we want inflammation not too high, not too low, but just right at the right time when we need it. The problem is, it's out of balance for most of the human race. Now, just like on a macro level, when you look from an environmental standpoint, our world is out of balance. It's that sort of climate change, if you will, is going on in everyone's body, or a lot of people's body, when it comes to chronic inflammation. It could be low grade or it could be high grade. It's this inflammation spectrum.
Right. Now, you mentioned the quiz. I mean, is that the only way you're identifying the most reactive areas in your body? Or is there another way in the book, or is that the prime way in the book? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so I put in the inflammation spectrum quiz, there are 7 sections on the inflammation spectrum that I point out. And there's a picture in the book so you can kind of see visually what I how I see it and what the inflammation spectrum is. So there's 7 sections of the body. There's a musculoskeletal section. There's brain. There's hormones. There's digestive issues, so on and so forth. There's 7 main sections. And then because our body is so brilliantly interconnected, you can have polyinflammation. And that's the 8th section where the body, you have inflammation in more than one areas. So they go through the quiz and they go through these 7 sections and see where they score. And again, the questions were adapted from questions that I ask patients in my functional medicine clinic. So what, and I just made it more usable, more user friendly for the average person. They go through the 7 sections, they find out their total score, and then they find out their areas that are the highest for them. So based on their total score of the quiz, it determines the track that they take in the book to lower inflammation and calm it. And then based on their higher section, one of the 7 sections, they have a specific toolbox so they can really customize their own, like choose their own adventure in a way. If it's hormones, they can have this toolbox that's all adapted from functional medicine principles and so on and so forth. So they can really figure out what's right for them and not make this overarching, like broad sweeping, overgeneralized stuff. Because I really wanted to get the heart of functional medicine in the book, which is what works for one person may not be right for you. And beyond educating people about the inflammation spectrum itself, it's also the second point of the book is finding out what your body loves and what your body hates, which we're all different. And that's really the heart of functional medicine, is that we want to find out, okay, one person may react to nightshades like tomatoes or eggplants and peppers, and other person may do really well with it, and the antioxidants from those foods do really well for them. And then same with grains, or same with dairy, or same with anything else that some person may have a reaction to, may not be a reaction for you. So we're able to, through the quiz and the systems in the book, to find out what's right for your body.
So, you know, I was fortunate enough to get one of the pre-release copies of the book several months ago, and I have it in my hand now, and I'm looking at the content, and I want you to just comment on this. So if you look at the chapter 1, 2, 3, whatever, for everyone, basically the name has the letter, the number 8 at the end: anticipate, investigate, incorporate, initiate, eliminate, dedicate, reintegrate, create. So what's with the 8?
Well, if you ever need someone to do a play on words, I'm your guy. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think of random puns and witty, like, play on words. So that actually, the 8 came from the higher scores in the quiz. They do an 8-week inflammation calming plan for 8 weeks. And that's something that I've done for years in my clinic. So it just all worked out that, okay, I do this for 8 weeks, and we looked at these 8 foods that the higher scores remove for a while, and then try to reintroduce them and see how they feel. And we explain how to reintroduce them a proper way to really get the accurate results. But it really was what sold on me on going through all the chapters. There are 8 chapters too, is the actual meaning on a, like, maybe esoteric level or number level of what 8 means in all, like, all ancient traditions. The number 8 is like moving beyond limitation. So 7 is 7 days of the week. There's a lot of systems in our world that is governed by the number 7, and 8 is moving beyond that limitation. So I saw that as sort of a symbolism of what I wanted the reader to go through, is to move beyond their limitations, to feel great. Because one of the top words I hear is, what do you miss when I ask the question for a patient, like, what do you miss the most since you've been going through this health problem? And they use the word freedom. I don't have the freedom to do the things I want to do. I'm fatigued. I don't feel great. I'm spending my money on all these medications, and I just don't feel well. And I can't live the life that I want to live. So I thought it just all came around so perfectly about this concept of moving beyond your limitations, and that when we have our health and we regain that vibrant vitality, people can start regaining that freedom and moving beyond their limitations. So that's the deeper meaning of why all the chapters are called that. And I just wanted it all to be poetic and have symmetry and have meaning in the book.
Yeah, you know, in the chiropractic world, we always just say the innate healing. So I love it. So I think it's
good. Yeah, it works for that too. It works for that too. I should have had the ninth chapter called that.
All righty. So do you talk about other lifestyle changes in the book that reduce inflammation? Do you talk about maybe exercise or sleep, meditation? Do you go through that as well?
Totally, yeah. So it's not just food. And I wanted – that's another reason why – I wanted to write the book, because we focus a lot on food and functional medicine and wellness as a whole. We know food comes first in many ways, but it's not just about food. And you could be eating like really clean foods that work for your body, but if you're, you know, serving your body a big slice of stress every day, or you have an unhealthy relationship with social media, or you're exposed to toxins in your home and you're using, you know, toxic beauty products or toxic cleaning products or things that are completely unregulated and untested as far as safety for humans to consume or put on their skin, that's going to be a saboteur to all the good, healthy foods that you're eating. So I have this conversation in the book of these non-food inflamers. So if you got the food down right, which you'll learn that through the book, but it's even for the reader that's already got the food down right, but they want to look beyond food and these other things that could be sabotaging their health. So it's definitely important. We highlight about 8 different ones, and within those 8, there are a lot of nuances amongst that, because it's not as clear as food, where it's like, just avoid this for a while, let's see how you feel off of it and reintroducing it, and based on the quiz score you can find out which ones to do for you. But the non-food inflammers, they're really embedded in our culture many times, and we have to kind of really question and take an evaluation of what's impacting my life, and is this out of balance? Going back to that balance analogy, is that a lot of these things that we do in our life, so let's talk about social media addiction for many people, and the amount of stress and amount of cortisol and the amount of this constant sympathetic stimulation that people are getting visually and in their mind, the impact that's having on their health. And then the ripple effect of that, of their social connections with other people. They are connected, quote unquote, but they're very socially isolated. So we have to have this conversation of getting more in alignment with our biochemistry. And I think if you look at the exciting research of looking at these inflammatory issues and autoimmunity, what some researchers are looking at is that there's a mismatch between our genetics, which at research, you know, basically hasn't changed in 10,000 years, our DNA, and yet our world and the amount of stuff we put, the stress we put our body under, has changed very dramatically in a very short period of time. So it's the foods, of course, it's the food supply, it's the hybridization, it's the genetic modification, it's the spraying of foods, soil depletion, all of that stuff. But then we have to look at all this other non-food stuff. So I try to boil it down to what I see in my patients causing the most problems in the book.
Yeah, that's wise. You could see that day in and day out. I love that you mentioned social media addiction as well. Oh boy, it's so bad for my younger son. Anyway, now you've been talking about it basically our whole conversation, but how does the book help you design your personalized food and lifestyle plan? Because it seems, you know, I'm looking, we've talked so much about the book and quizzes and this and that and lifestyle, and it seems like this book's going to be like 9,000 pages, but it's not. It's pretty small. It's a pretty small book. It's designed like perfectly. It's easy to use. Like you said, it's choose your own adventure. So take it to one step further. How does it help you choose your personalized, or even give an example, like if someone shows up with like a nervous system, where that or digestive system is kind of getting the most brunt of the inflammation. How does that work?
Yeah. Sure. So let's say they take the inflammation spectrum quiz. They find out that the brain is their highest area and the other areas are fine. But yet their brain was really high. So they scored higher on the quiz score and then higher in their brain section. So they're going to do the eliminate track. So there's 2 different tracks. There's the core 4 and the eliminate. So again, play on words, guys. I'm your guy. So core 4 is 4 weeks, removing 4 foods, and then we reintroduce it after 4 weeks. And then eliminate is 8 foods removed. And then why am I picking 4 and 8? It's because honestly, it's what I see in my clinic. These are the foods that are most likely to be problematic. And you're going to see that you're not going to have a problem with all of these foods probably, but somebody else is going to have problems with foods that you don't have, and vice versa. We're all different. So when we reintroduce it, we're able to find out what your body loves and hates during that time. But during that 4 or 8 week experiment on your body, you know, this journey that you're taking to calm inflammation, working on nutrient dense foods, enjoying foods, we give a lot of recipes and a meal plan in there, so you can really make this fun. It doesn't have to be arduous or like miserable. This is really about loving your body enough to feed it good things. And when and because the brain is the higher category in that section, you get your own brain toolbox filled with foods to focus on based on brain to help with brain support, things like adaptogens, like mucuniperians, like adaptogens to help with L-dopamine, or different adaptogens to help lower inflammation, help the brain cognitive function, or whatever that's needed in that brain toolbox. There's going to be things for you to use during those coming weeks during the time to calm inflammation. So then you've then not only focused on lowering inflammation to find out what foods work for your body, but you also have been targeting your brain health over that time based on that quiz score. So that's how you do it. And then you'll have this non-food inflammers during that time too. So looking at your relationship with social media or relationship, like what products are you using in your house that could also be impacting your brain health in this example. And that could apply to hormones and digestive health and et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of sections that you could score high in, but that's just the brain section. So that's what the main premise of the book is. It's to, at the end of this experiment for your body, to find out what makes you thrive. And this is that transition from a diet, quote unquote, or a plan or a book even, to you owning your life, to you knowing what makes you feel great. Because there's this transition of, oh, this is not like a diet where it's punitive and it's like I can't have all these foods and I miss it. It's no, I would rather feel great than I miss those foods. And I know those foods make me feel lousy. So it's not restrictive or dieting or obsessive about food to avoid foods that make you feel like crap. It's actually freedom to know this is all the stuff that I get to eat, but I don't want to feel bad. So I'm going to not eat those foods because I value feeling great more than I miss that food. It's just illogical when you start start feeling fantastic to go back. Because even if you do have that food that makes you not feel so great, you won't have as much of it because you've grown in awareness to know this is not worth it. And it's all about that body talk that you get through that either 4 weeks or 8 weeks of calming inflammation to really get that intuitive, innate, to use that term that you just used, that innate awareness to what works for your body and what doesn't.
So just for the case of discussion, what are the core four and in the eight? What are the four and then what are the eight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so core four, the main foods are going to be grains. It's going to be sugar. It's going to be bad oil and dairy. So, and we have a conversation about beta-A2 casein and like the different nuances of that and which ones to bring in fat more like which ones to bring in first, which ones to bring in last, just based off me seeing thousands of patients over the past 11 years. And then the additional four are going to be nightshades. So peppers, tomatoes, eggplants. It's going to be nuts and seeds. It's going to be legumes, and it's going to be seeds. So basically your core four eliminate is going to be based on that quiz score, and then when you reintroduce them, you can see what you feel great on. I miss eggs. I think nuts and seeds are together. I miss eggs. And then we talk about, okay, duck eggs tend to be better to be more tolerable. So when you reintroduce eggs, you're going to bring back in duck eggs first, and then obviously start with the yolk first because the yolk tends to be less – reactive, less inflammatory for some people. The albumin and the egg white can be problematic for some people. So we have these conversations because I didn't want to make many broad sweeping, like overgeneralized statements. And I wanted just through seeing what works and what doesn't in so many people, like you can test each food specifically. And then you may find out, oh, I can have most of these foods, but when I have eggs, I don't feel as good. My inflammation comes up. Or when I have nuts, I don't feel as good, and I have to keep that out. And we talk about soaking nuts. We talk about sprouting them. There's so many ways to mitigate. Even if you do have a problem with one food, you may be able to bring it back in a different way, and I teach how to do that in the book.
You know, I have a little commentary on dairy. Now, I know for sure my body deals much better. Actually, I thrive on goat's milk and fermented goat's milk. I have no problem with that. I like making kefirs. I like goat cheese better. Sheep's milk, same exact thing. Now, cow's milk is a little bit hit or miss for me. I'm thankful. I don't know up in Pittsburgh. I haven't gone there yet. I want to go to the Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium so very badly to see my Mets. I heard it's the most beautiful stadium in the country.
It is beautiful.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But we have A2 milk now available in just about every supermarket. Have you? And I understand the differences, A1 and A2, different protein structures. Have you seen a real, in your patient base, difference between someone consuming A1 milk and A2 milk?
Yeah, I definitely have. And that's grass-fed A2 milk is normally reintroduced before the other kind. And cultured dairy, like the A2 cheeses or grass-fed cheeses and yogurts and kefirs, things like that, are brought back in before, like straight up A2 milk, and obviously conventional milk. But there are some people that still have problems with A2 milk. So it's definitely, when you start reintroducing it, if that's really important for the reader, if they really want to have milk, then we teach how to do it. Or you may be fine just having, you know, the fermented, like the cheeses occasionally on your salad or occasional yogurt or kefir or something like that. And there's fermented ones. The grass-fed varieties tend to be more tolerable too. But there's definitely people that still have sensitivities to even the best dairy out there.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something, and I don't want it to get missed. You were talking about how people find eliminating foods very difficult, restrictive, punitive. But it's really the opposite. Once you find what works for you and you're eating food that makes you feel well, you don't want to eat the foods that make you feel like crap. So can you just touch upon that a little bit more? Because that's a really important point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. To me, I think that's the main ethos of the book, is that it's is not a diet for the sake of dieting. This is really to get your own personal roadmap of what works for your body. Because most diets fail because people are going through it with a wrong, an incorrect or unsustainable perspective about food. So we talk about in the book of really healing your relationship with food, healing your relationship with your body to know what makes you feel great. Because most people want to feel great. And inflammation, when it's all its various manifestations, really confuses a lot of that body talk. People are so disillusioned, both on a physiological level, because they're like, I don't even know what's up and what's down in my body. I don't even know what's right for me anymore. And then on a psychological level, they're confused too because of all this conflicting information on Dr. Google. So by lowering inflammation and having a clear roadmap, they've dealt with that physiological and psychological confusion that's going on right now in the world. So when they have that stability, they've centered themselves, they calm inflammation levels down, they've worked on nutrient dense foods in a fun way, and then now they can see what works and what doesn't work for them. And that is that catalytic, that transition that people go through on an emotional, mental, spiritual level of saying, you know, wow, I feel so great. This sort of fog is lifted. The inflammation is calmed. And then they can know, okay, when I have that food, it doesn't make me feel great. But I've regained so much feeling greatness that I don't even miss that food. And that's that transition from a dieting to just this is your life. And something that I see throughout the book is that food should be that. Food should be this sort of amazing information that we're giving our body to instruct our microbiome, instruct our hormones, instruct healthy, balanced inflammatory cascades in our body, and not throwing things out of balance all the time. But we have to have that relationship with ourselves and our food right first. So I want people to go through this with like a really positive mindset of getting that clear information for themselves, because as I say in the book, you can't heal a body you hate. And I think a lot of times people go through this and they're sort of obsessed about food in a really unhealthy way, or they're really punishing their body with another diet, which is the last thing that our culture needs. This is really about loving your body enough to give it grace, to give it lightness, to feel good using food as medicine.
Yeah, well said. Thank you. Anything else in the book, or any point that you want to bring up about the book that we missed?
No, I think that that is the ethos of it is really what I'm excited people to get. I'm excited for the reader to get behind and to understand is why people are doing what they're doing. I think that is what I'm, if you had to, if I had to say what I'm most excited about, it's that. It's like, why are we doing what we're doing? Like, let's get our head and our heart right, and now all the other stuff will fall into place most times. Like, I feel like that is the crux, the foundation of sustainable wellness is valuing yourself enough to do good things for it. And self-care is a form of self-respect. So if you get that right, all that other stuff tends to fall into place. And then the system and the quiz and all that stuff is really great because it's pointing them people into the right direction to feel great. But they have to get their head and their heart right first. So I that's what I'm most excited for people to read in the book.
Cool. So as we wind down, I asked this question to you twice before. I'm going to ask it again. From waking to sleeping, your daily rhythm?
Yeah, and it may have changed since then. Probably not, but I'm a creature of habit. But right now, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I said last time, but I'll just go. Basically, it's probably the same. So I wake up in the morning. I you know what I've been doing lately? I've been doing an OMAD fast for a while now, just experimenting with it, which it's basically one meal a day. So I'm getting my calories. I'm doing it 22-2 ratio. It's not in the inflammation spectrum book. I talk about time restricted feeding in the book, but I talk more about fasting and ketotarian. But basically, time restricted feeding, I think, is one way to lower inflammation, to enhance autophagy or cellular recycling pathways that I do touch on in the book, in my second book. But I'm not having anything in the morning. I'm typically drinking Earl Grey tea, which has bergamot, which enhances autophagy or cellular recycling. And it has a little caffeine, obviously, from the black tea. And I also have this cinnamon fasting tea that has bergamot and cinnamon in it that's caffeine-free. So I've been having those in the day, during the day, and I've been drinking water with this company. I have the bottle right in front of me, and I have no connection to this company, but it's called Keto Chow. It is fasting drops, so it's just sodium and magnesium from the Salt Lake, Great Salt Lake in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I just keep my electrolytes balanced as I'm fasting, and I'm obviously keto adapted, fat adapted during the day, and I'm just doing that like teas with bergamot and the fasting drops in water. And then when I get home, I break the fast because I'm seeing patients all day. We primarily have a virtual clinic, so I'm standing at my standing desk and consulting people around the world at my functional medicine center. And at the end of the day, I go home and I break the fast, and I'll have something ketotarian, something that is inflammation spectrum compliant too. And that's my basic day, is seeing patients and then eating at the end of the day. So I guess – and I see my kids. I might hang out with my kids and I love hanging out with them in the afternoon. We started watching Live PD in the evening. Have you ever watched Live PD?
No, what is that?
Oh my gosh, it's like I love this show. But it's basically police departments around the country doing like live feeds, and there's like the center studio in New York. It's on A&E, and they're like panning, and they're saying, "Okay, let's break to like the Oklahoma City Department," and then you're seeing all these wild like police chases and things like that around the country live. It's a pretty amazing show. So my son, who's 13 years old, loves this show, and he's like, we're watching this together. And then I missed this, but I normally do a fasted workout in the morning. I'll do like a Peloton cycle with like some upper body like resistance training. I normally wake up at like 5 a.m. to do that. So that's my day.
So let me ask you this question. Like I get up really early, and I time restrict about 14-15 hours, and I work out early in the morning. By at the 14-15 hours, I'm hungry. Like how did you break through like that barrier to get to the 16-17-18-19 hour?
Yeah. And I think that we all need to find that rhythm. And I don't, for most of my life, I do the 12 to 6, 12 to 7 eating window. And I like, that's most of my life. So I don't think that everybody should do OMAD like all day, every day. I'm just experimenting with it. And you have to make sure that you're getting enough calories in that 2-hour window that I'm doing. So it's definitely not for everybody. You don't have to force yourself if you don't feel great doing it. I wanted to just try it and see how I felt on it, and I feel good on it. I won't do it all the time. I won't do it forever, but I do it fine. I make sure I'm eating enough calories in that window. But I think the 12 to 6 or 12 to 7 like eating window, meaning you're only eating between 12 and 7, works for most people. And then a very simple way is just doing 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. eating window and just fasting through the night until you break the fast at breakfast in the morning. So there's definitely I talk about it at length in Ketotarian, like different ways that people can try that. But I've just been trying to answer your question. When I am feeling a little bit hungry with the OMAD, like the one meal a day thing, I will just have these fasting drops or the bergamot tea, the fasting teas. They're really they calm that right down. I'm not even hungry until the end of the day. So I think that those, making sure your electrolytes balanced, drinking water and tea is one way to mitigate that.
Okay. Yeah. It just for me personally, it just seems like that 14-15 hour window just seems about right for me. But I'd like to be able to extend it at time too.
Right. Here and there. Yep. Here and there, not all the time. I agree.
And the bergamot is interesting. I have not heard that bergamot increases autophagy. That's interesting. I'll have to tinker around with that as well for sure.
Yeah. So fasting does that. The bergamot does that. The polyphenols in the black tea does that, and ketosis does that. So it's sort of this sort of multiple pronged approach to try to improve health. You know, that's what I'm trying to do.
Cool. So last question: how can our audience get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks again for having me, by the way. Everything's at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. So everything's there. You can pre-order the book or order the book whenever you're listening to this. It comes out October 15th. We just launched our online group classes, which I'm really excited about because I consult patients online one-on-one, but we just started these group classes where we can get like 100 people in the class, and we go over blood labs and really educate them on their labs. Super pumped about. My goal is to continue to make functional medicine more accessible and more affordable to people so they can get information about all that stuff at drwillcole.com.
Great. So the link to the book will be in the show notes on our website, that'll be very, very accessible. Thank you, Dr. Cole. I appreciate it. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoy, your co-host, and you're listening to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. If you've heard today, please share this to your friends and encourage them to subscribe on iTunes. Better yet, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. You can sign up for our incredible weekly email at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. And as my oldest son Hayden says, be awesome and never unawesome. It's Dr. Noah and I'm back. I suspect you loved listening to this week's podcast release. So the book of the month for October 2019 is Now is the Way, an unconventional approach to modern mindfulness by Corey Allen. I personally highly recommend this book. It really helped me with my meditation practice. You can listen to me interview the author on September 23rd podcast release. The supplement of the month for October 2019 is BYWG's Nutrition's Probiotic Power Blend. Probiotic Power is a shelf-stable, comprehensive probiotic with a whopping 25 billion CFUs in each capsule, meaning it's very potent and includes 9 of the most beneficial bacterial strains from the lactobacillus and bifidobacter families. It also contains a small amount of prebiotics as well. For the month of October, the 10% discount code is OCT19HEALTHY.com. Gut. Remember, it'll be in the show notes. In the archives on our podcast and on our website, you can listen to a comprehensive review of all our supplements. And in the month of October, one podcast release will be dedicated to probiotic power. The product of the month for October is a brand new company that we partnered with, Peak Tea Crystals. My wife and I have been enjoying these super easy to use teas for several weeks and absolutely love them. Peak teas have exquisite flavor and are uber convenient. All you do is tear open a packet, pour the crystals in some water, and stir, hot or cold. Their teas have up to 12 times the antioxidants of other teas, exceed the USDA organic standards, and their triple toxin screen for pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. You know how important this is. Among those antioxidants are polyphenols that include epicatechins, catechins, 3-O-methylgallic acid, gallic acid, and caffeic acid, all showing extensive healthy benefits, including gut health. This leads me to an incredible offer for the first 15 days of October and a perfect complement to our probiotic power. Our friends at Peak Tea were generous enough to give us 17% off discount to share with you on their gut health bundles, including free shipping on U.S. orders from October 1st through October 15th. Most people don't realize that polyphenols and teas are natural prebiotics. It might be the simplest way to keep your gut flora in healthy, natural balance. The kicker is the only way to make sure you're actually getting high-quality polyphenols in sufficient quantities from tea you're drinking. This is where Peak Tea Crystals come into play in a big way. The link to the special gut bundle offer will be in our monthly releases, as well as the direct link to their entire catalog of teas. Thank you for your time. Be awesome and never unawesome.